Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am so happy to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And as always, it is a good word because God does not give anything but good words. The Lord loves us like that. I am so grateful to be a child of God. So grateful to know that I'm blessed beyond measure. As the word says, blessed beyond the curse. Hallelujah. God, we are blessed beyond a curse. Why? Because we are loved by God. Loved in our good, loved in our bad, just loved. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you to our awesome and mighty Father. As the song says, you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. We are loved by the Most High. And all he asks of us, not much, to keep the commandments. To keep his commandments. We have been going over them over the last few days this week. Keeping the Lord's commandments. Again, top five are about God. Last five are about your neighbor. Are you loving your neighbor today? Are you caring about someone other than yourself today? Are you reaching out to someone you haven't talked to for a while? Someone that God has put on your heart? That God has said you need to call. On Saturday, my friend, who I hadn't talked to in a long time, you know, I think the last time I talked to her was about 4 months ago, beginning of the year. You know, once a year, January 1st call we make to friends, just, you know, say Happy New Year, and we're going to have to get together. We're going to have to come see each other. We're going to have to do dinner, or we're going to have to do lunch, or then have to go shopping, or, you know, hang out a little bit. We make that phone call, and then we forget to follow up. We forget to keep in touch. And then the next time we hear about that person that they passed on, and we didn't get a chance to say goodbye. We didn't get a chance to go on that dinner. We didn't get a chance to go on that lunch. So I say today, if God puts someone on your heart, reach out. My friend was put on my heart. I got a phone call that she was in the hospital. And God put on my heart to go see her. And I did. And as you all know that listen regularly, she passed on my birthday, which was a week ago Monday. And that I went to see her, and I'm grateful that God gave us a shared day. Her heavenly birthday is my earthly birthday, and I'm grateful that God gave that to us, because I will never forget her. I will always remember that sweet personality, that beautiful voice that always said good morning with a singing voice, with a loving kindness, with a faithful heart. So all we can say is thank God for the people in your life. Don't wait until you get a phone call. If God has put someone on your heart today, remember the commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself, given by the Master Savior, and make a phone call. Go make a visit. Don't wait till it's too late, because you'll have regret. You'll have, I wish I should have, would have, could have. Don't have those in your life, because God is not a would have, should have, could have. He's a faithful Father and a loving God, and he doesn't ask much of us but to keep his commandments, to love each other, to care about others, and to love him. Are you loving God today is a question we need to ask ourselves. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do in loving my brothers and my sisters, in caring about others other than myself? Am I being a good neighbor? Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up your word, Lord God, your great and mighty word, your wonderful word, Lord. We ask you to guide us. We ask you to lead us. We ask you to give us strength, oh God. Give us understanding to know that you are in charge of everything. We are your humble children. We are your humble servants. We are here to do your will, God. And Father God, I lift up the words for this morning. I lift up my heart, my mind, my soul, Lord God. I lift up all my, give you all my strength, Father, and ask you to increase as I decrease. But Lord God, you are everything. You are my sword and shield. You are my strength. You are the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You are the rose of Sharon. You are mighty God, and I am your humble child. Father God, I thank you this morning for your grace. I thank you this morning for your mercy, and I thank you this morning for life. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed to be your child. So, Father God, please increase as I decrease, for you are my God and my Redeemer, and it is you that I do all things. So, Lord God, I ask you to take control as I listen and care what you tell me to speak. Take me out, Lord God, and replace me with you. Remove all flesh with spirit. In the precious and master's name of Christ Jesus, I give everything, this word, I give all of me to you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give honor to God in all that you do, and watch him work in your life. Let's get ready for a great word this morning. And all I can say is, yes, it is good. It is good. Can y'all say it with me? The word of God is good. Good word. It's a great word. It's a God word. And we're coming again out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9 this morning. On this 24th day of March, we are also coming out of 37th Psalm, verses 12 through 17, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, and our New Testament word is Luke chapter 1, verse 57 through 80. So Luke 1, 57 through 80. And we're talking about, again, Jesus and John. We're talking John's birth, and I'm talking John the Baptist. We're talking his birth in today's lesson. But Moses, in our Deuteronomy chapter 9 words this morning, is giving an overview. Because remember, the children of Israel that came out of Egypt are deceased. All of them are gone, but Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and those that were under the age of 20. Are still living. So 20 and above, gone. Under 20, still here. And now they are the elders, they are the seniors, they are the leaders of these tribes. And Moses is reminding them of what happened to their parents, grandparents, those that were there with them when they came out of Egypt, because some of these people were babies even. So they're turning 40 years old. They're about to be 40 years old. They are 40 years old because they were infants when they left Egypt. Because remember, not one firstborn, not one child of Israel died when the Lord took the firstborn who followed the command of God. So Moses is telling this new generation who they are, where they come from, the commands of God on what they should do, how they should live. He's given the story of why there wound up being two sets of stones, how he had to go back up the mountain and get a whole nother set because of the stiff-necked people who were being disobedient to God. And so Moses is telling the story today. He's giving a history lesson in today's lesson. So as we go back in time to understand that history unknown is history repeated. So you have to give history lessons to your children. You have to let them know who they are. You have to let them know why certain things are and how we have to be careful that those certain things don't get repeated. Because they were not good. They were bad. And that we don't want to go back into bondage. And that's what Moses is talking to these children about, being in bondage. Being in bondage to sin. And we don't want to be in bondage to sin. Because our Father God has brought us out of the Egypt in our life. We have to be thankful. We have to be grateful. And we have to know who we belong to and that we are blessed children of God. That he gave us opportunity and do-overs. And all we have to do is follow. We have to follow his direction, follow his edit, and do what thus says the Lord. Those are things that we have to do. So as we get ready to go in this Deuteronomy chapter 9, get your Bibles, please, and follow me. If you are in King James or New King James, you will be able to follow me fine. NIV as well. So I am coming out of New King James, and the Bible that I'm using for this year is the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And this is a signature series from Dr. Charles S. Stanley. And the goal of this ministry is to read the Bible in 1 year. January 1st, we started in Genesis chapter 1. On December the 31st, God willing, we will end in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So please tell friends, family, those that are wanting to get into their word more daily to join us. I read it, I speak it, I teach it, I preach it. Because that's what God has given me, my assignment, and I'm doing what God has assigned me to do. I am also looking for readers for the month of May and the month of June when I have to go on vacation. I have graduation of grandchild as well as a nephew. And so I will be traveling during that time. And so I am looking for readers for that for a week in May. And I'm looking for readers for a week in June. So I will be talking to some people to see if I can get some readers out there. And pastors and ministers that are wanting to teach during that week. So those 2 weeks, actually. So please DM me if you are a minister, pastor, or someone that loves the Word of God, evangelist, teacher, preacher, that would be willing to come in and be a guest host for that week, those 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Let's get into the Word. And the Word of God comes in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 22. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go into disposition. Go into dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and whom you heard, it says, who can stand before the descendants of Anak. Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. When I came up into the mountain, received the tablets of the stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you. Then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then the Lord delivered to me 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord has spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise and go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded image. And we all know they made the golden calf. Aaron lost his mind and made this golden calf for them to worship. And then they started talking about the calf thought about Egypt. Come on now. Lost their mind. And it goes on to tell us in verse 13, furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came back. I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, had made for yourselves a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. Then I took the 2 tablets and threw them out of my 2 hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sins, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. Then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it and ground it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook and descended from the mountain. Also at Taberah and Massah and Kibroth Hathaviah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, then go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him, nor obey his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself before the Lord had said he would destroy you. Therefore I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. Woo! Moses is preaching this morning. Woo! Come on now. Preach, Moses. Preach. At chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. At that time, the Lord said to me, hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. So the Lord said, I ain't playing this time. We're going to put these stones in something safe, because this man lost his mind and broke up my commandments. Moses had a moment. So God is writing these tablets again, but this time he said, I need you to make this ark and put these tablets inside the ark. In case, and this is me saying, in case these stiff-necked people decide to sin again while you're up here, because they lost their mind. Golden cow party over here. Golden cow party. They was having one. And Aaron was all up in the mix. Who was supposed to be leading these people? Come on. And Aaron didn't make it in either. Let's keep it going. And it says, so I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord has spoken to you in the mountain, from the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made. And there they are, just as the Lord commanded me. Now the children of Israel journeyed from the wells of Beni Jaakan to Masorah, where Aaron died and where he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered as priest in his stead. From there they journeyed to Gadgadash, and from Gadgadash to Jotbatha, the land of rivers of water. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name. To this day, therefore, Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. As at the first time I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord also heard me at that time, and the Lord chose not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, arise, begin your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all the ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. Can we say that again? I'm going to read that one more time, verses 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to hear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good. For your good. God is wanting the best for us. And he's not asking that much. What is God asking of us? To fear him, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve him with all our heart and with all our soul, to keep his commandments. If you keep those 10 commandments, all the other statutes, all the other commandments fall into place, because it covers them top 10, as I call them, the top 10. Follow those 10. Everything in your life falls into place. And as I said, I command you today for your good. God is doing the things he does for our good. And it goes on to tell us, verse 14, indeed, heaven and the highest heaven belong to the Lord your God. Heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. You above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. Whew, hallelujah. Who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, thank you, Jesus, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oath in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. Hallelujah. This word is going to make me shout this morning. What a great word. And we will go back at the end of our lesson as far as our scripture readings today. We'll go back, and if time permits, we'll do some life lessons, and we will do the life questions for today. Answers to life's questions, choir of us, that will be at the end of our lesson today. And as we continue, Psalm 37, 12 through 17, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. You know, and I'm going there this morning. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. And I don't know if any of you have been watching the hearing for the Supreme Court nominee who is up, Miss Brown. And I tell you this woman is the most qualified justice that's ever come before the Senate. She has it all. She has the Bar Association's highest rating. And certain people are going off on this lady like she's so not qualified. And when she is appointed and when she is burned for the Supreme Court, because she will be, she will be the highest rated and have more knowledge than anyone else who's ever been nominated and confirmed for the court. And we as men and women of God have got to pray. She is a woman of God, a woman of God. That's all I can say. She loves God. And I believe that God brought her before to show the hypocrisy of certain people. You let nine not qualified by the Bar Association go through, but yet the highest qualified, you're having a hissy fit. And it's not because of her qualifications. Because if you pulled her out of a stack and didn't have certain things about her on it, she would be right there, no issue. We as a nation had our own sinful self. And as a nation built on blood, built on sweat, built on tears of oppression, we got to ask for forgiveness. We got to ask the Lord to forgive us. And we got to change our ways. Because a nation divided against itself, just as Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. If we try to go back to the 1800s, we will fall. If we try to go back to the same old antiquated policies of racism and bigotry as you have never prayed before for America, that we come back together, that we come together in love for each other and mostly for God. We got to love God, because when we love God, we can love each other. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, because the outside is going to fade away. But what are you looking like on the inside? What kind of heart do you have? Has your heart been circumcised for God? It's a question we have to ask. But again, the Word of God tells us, because you're seeing it every day played out on C-SPAN. The wicked plotted against the just and gnashes at him with teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. The sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Stand on the word of God and watch him work. Whew! Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is showing some stuff. All you got to do is be quiet, watch as well as wait, and listen. Proverbs 12:11. He who tills the land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows morality is devoid of understanding. You better save for that rainy day. You got to have some money stashed away some other places. Money that is your don't touch. God will provide money. You can't spend everything that you have, and then when you need, you don't have anything. We got to trust God and hold on to his unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mama. That was a word that was instilled in my heart. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Now, Elizabeth, full time, came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zechariah. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child would this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, is the Lord God of Israel. But he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. We should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you called, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you, whew, will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day springs from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And we know that child was John the Baptist. Hallelujah. A manifestation of Israel. God is good all the time. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Lord, this word has made me want to shout this morning. God is reminding us who we are, who we belong to, and what we need to do. Keep the Lord's commandments. Keep the Lord's commandments. Not my commandments. Not your pastor's commandments. Not boo-boo and them down. It's commandments of the Lord. That's what God is requiring and asking of us, to keep his commandments. We know those commandments. We've talked about those commandments. You can find those commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. They give you a absolute one-by-one commandment of where you find it. Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you're wondering what are the commandments and what do I need to do, follow them. Follow them. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbors as you love yourself. Jesus gave us that commandment. And what he did was took the top 10, divided them in half, gave you God and gave you your neighbor. Top 5, God. Lust by neighbor. And if you follow them, everything else in your life will fall into place. And as we go back over some life lessons from today's scriptures, which are so on point, Deuteronomy 9 and 6, the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. For you are a stiff-necked people. God didn't play. He told you who you are. Stiff-neckedness has not left. We are still stiff-necked. We are still not there yet, but we get there. We are in transition. We are trying to make it to the mark. We are trying to reach that higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We're trying to get there. God, give us strength. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be better. We got to be better for God, because God is not a liar. He's not a man. And this is what it says. The Lord does not shower us with his love because we deserve it, but because he is gracious and loving. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we can find that in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. And when we go to Romans 5, and we're going to go all the way back to Romans 5, and we're going to go up to verse, we're just going to start at Romans 5, verse 1. And it says, God forgives man through faith in Jesus Christ. God forgives man through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, the love of God, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a word. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? But if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Come on, what a word. And as we go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord? Moses gives a condensed version of the law. 1, fear God. 2, walk in God's ways. 3, love God. 4, serve God wholeheartedly. 5, obey God. God promises to bless all who live like this. And I'm going to go again. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. 1, fear God. 2, walk in God's ways. Love God. 4, serve God wholeheartedly. 5, obey God. God promises to bless all those who live like this. And I'm going one more time. The first is fear God. Walk in God's way. Love God. Serve God wholeheartedly. And obey God. And with those, you get what? Grace. Wow. Thank you, Father. Gave me that. We get grace. What does God require of us? Sometimes God's commands are as clear as the sun on a cloudless day. And again, Dr. Stanley is preaching this morning as well. However, at times, what he instructs you to do may seem as difficult as capturing the sun and putting it into your pocket. It's an impossible task. The Israelites faced this dilemma when they stood on the verge of entering Canaan. God commanded that they take the land of promise by war. But after 40 years of wandering, no doubt they wondered if they had what it took to wage a successful campaign. Yet, they were missing the point of the relationship they had with God. In Deuteronomy 10:12-13, Moses admonishes, what does the Lord your God require of you? And we done went over them, so we're going to say it again. Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. God did not expect them to have a perfect battle plan. He simply wanted them to love him. He did not ask them to win the war at any cost. He told them to simply trust his ways and obey his commands. Moses understood that Israel could not be under God's protection without obedience and faith, without love for the one that were the one they were following. You must understand that as well. We got to love God. And when you love God, everything else falls in place. What is the, was it Mary, Mary? It's like, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? We got to love God because there's nothing wrong with us because God is love and we are God's children. And all he's asking of us is to love him too, unconditionally, like he loves us unconditionally. And it goes on to tell us, and Dr. Stanley says, God is not an impossible taskmaster. He won't set you up to fail. Rather, he is your loving God who is making a way for you through whatever challenges you face. Your responsibility is to walk in his way. Oh, praise the Lord. Micah 6:8 explains, he has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? What does that mean? It means that you are to exhibit the character of Christ, respectfully accepting God's instructions and serving him out of love. Understand that God wants to have a deep and abiding relationship with you, and he gladly prepares and empowers you for whatever he expects of you. The more you understand his ways, the more you're going to love him and want to obey him. If you want to serve God, and if you desire his protection, you must know him, love him, and obey him. And no matter how difficult the challenges that arise, God will help you. In his will is the safest place for you to be. So do not fear, for he is with you. He will give you the strength you need when you trust him and do what he says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Smith. We got to do what God says to and watch everything fall into place in your life. Our last two life lessons, Luke 1:74-75. Serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Those who fear God do not have to fear anything else. When we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to serving God, we can enjoy the intense pleasures that come with holiness and righteousness. Can y'all say praise the Lord with me? Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue, the day spring from our high has visited us. Luke 1:78. Zechariah was referring to the prophecy of Malachi. And we're going to go over to Malachi now. There's nothing like the word of God. So go with me in the Old Testament to Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament. And in Malachi 4:2. If for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. And this is, we're going to actually go back to verse 1. It's got a little bit of time. It says, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to land with total destruction. And that is a prophetic word. And it goes on to tell us in this word from Dr. Stanley. Zechariah was referring to the prophecy of Malachi 4:2. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. This, of course, was speaking about the Messiah. By first listing God's covenant to David and Abraham, and then referring to the last thing God did to Malachi, Zechariah was confirming that God had indeed kept every aspect of his promise to send the Messiah. The good news that Israel had been longing to hear had finally arrived. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty, mighty word. Before we get out of here this morning, as always, a word from our psalmist, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Carolyn has not sent out her word this morning, so keep Sister Carolyn in your prayers, please. But again, her word for yesterday, I'm going to give it again. God will give you his strength in your struggle. So we are praying for God to give her strength and that she will be calling in, and she will be letting us have her word before 8. We have a prayer this morning. We have added to our arsenal of praise, of supplication, of prayer. I was actually, as I was visiting my friend in the hospital, God sent me into the bookstore, and I know it was God. Sent me into the bookstore, and as I was in there, I found this book. A prayer, and I couldn't, I just felt like I had to get it for this blog, and it is 365 Days of Prayer for Life, and our prayer for today, March the 24th, is your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I know, and of course, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and I feel this is for me. As I was talking about my friend this morning, this also was a prayer we prayed, and the prayer I prayed with my husband. God's will. And every day, every time you talk to her on the phone, before we would finish the conversation, she said, we'll talk again. God's will. And the day that I visited with her, as I got ready to leave, I said, we'll see each other again. God's will. But it wasn't God's will for me to see her again. It was God's will for me to go that day to pray with her, to spend time with her, to laugh with her, and to give her a word of encouragement, because she was one courageous woman, a courageous woman of God. So I say this morning, God's will in your life. And it says this in our prayer. God, as the days pass and they start to blend into one another, it is so easy for me to get caught up in my schedule. As the days turn into weeks and the weeks into months, if I am not taking intentional time with you, I find my heart growing more turned toward my needs and wants. But you, oh God, are bigger than my little life. Your ways are better than my most calculated plans. Lord, I don't want to live a small life only concerned with my little area of the world. I partner with you, God, that your ways will be manifest on the earth. May your will, your intentions, your desires be fulfilled on the earth just like they are in heaven. May my life be one of full submission and partnership with the King of Kings, that your will be done in my life. Your kingdom come in the places I work and live. Give me eyes that see the vision of your love changing hearts and lives all around. I yield myself to you, knowing your plans are better than my own. What a privilege. Father God, as we end this morning, I pray as I pray every day to those that are listening. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word. I lift up this prayer. I lift up all of you to our Father. For he is a good Father, and he loves us. That's who he is. Father God, I thank you again for this mighty word and ask you to continue your blessings and your grace upon all the listeners and the doers of this word. And Lord, I ask a blessing be made upon the reader of this word. In Jesus' name, again, I pray, asking you to keep our sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ and our planet, Lord God. Keep us safe from all harm and danger, from those that will preach false prophets, false teachers. Lord, I ask you to show them for who they are and that they do not come from you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, let your light shine on the darkness. Let your grace and mercy abound on this planet. For you, Lord God, are in charge of everything. In Jesus' name we pray, knowing, trusting, and believing that your word is true. Amen. And this is our last thing for today, and it is a question for my prayer this morning. Is there room in your life for God to change your plan? And that is our word for today. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence as you read and teach this word. I thank God for all of you and ask God to continue watching over you and blessing you. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for God. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.